Hello, welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today, I am talking to one of the co-founders of Sounder, Kafo Makatir. Sounder, play well, the tagline. Play well, two words exchanged between golfers on the first tee at courses the world over. Two words that encapsulate what Sounder stand for. They don't promise that Sounder products will help you play like the pros. The word amateur derives from the Latin verb amare, to love. As amateurs, we all play for the love of the game. Our successes are not measured against par in prize money or by endorsement contracts. They are achieved through simpler pleasures, the escape, the shared experience, the joy in waiting for the shots to come. And here to talk about Sounder and the philosophy of the brand and the love of golf itself is co-founder Kafo Makatir.
I'm Kafo Makatir, like you said. Thank you. Nice to see you. And I'm a Scottish guy who has sport clothing and had that for 20 years. And Sounder is a kind of a very stylish golf brand. You know, it's the, you know, we're going to do everything in golf, and we through how do I describe it? It's quite difficult because to my friends, it's just everything they want to wear on the course. But they were putting together with a menagerie of other brands and sometimes some weird golf shit. You know? So I've sadly been pretty anti-golf clothes for a long, long time. And that's because I think I was brought up in the era wearing Ping and Jack Nicklaus Golden Bear and stuff like that. And we just wore chinos and nice polos and great jumpers. And we didn't need technical sportswear. Yeah. I still don't really see the need for technical sportswear in golf. You know, I think, you know, when I look at Seve, I just look at this really handsome, stylish bloke. You know, he just looks great. You know, he always had his look, you know, and I like that. There was an element of real style there. Gary Player, I felt, had really good style. Yeah. And I don't really see the golf market, the clothing market is very stylish. And that's my job. I've been dressing people for a long time, and it's been really exciting getting involved in golf.
And yeah, it's quite interesting. You often hear about how some of the style icons of their day are kind of style icons by accident. These are the people that didn't really put any effort into their style at all, and that's kind of what made them cool in a way. You know, like you mentioned, Stevie Ballesteros, I think that's a great example. And obviously, Steve McQueen is another one. When I remember speaking to his son, Chad, he said he never looked twice in the mirror. You know, he never looked, he took put a jacket on and never thought, yeah. Oh, let me put another jacket on and see what that looks like. He just put something on and went out the door. How were you always looking to do something like this when you had folk clothing? How long has this been marinating in your mind?
This actually was a bit of a reaction to me being able to play golf again. So I hadn't played enough golf since moving to London. I always played, but never enough, you know. I've still been using my Maxfly Australian blades. I love to death. And at one point I said, I need to get myself new clubs. And I went to visit my partner, co-founder James Day, just by chance. I Googled who does Project X shafts. And he came up, and I went to visit him, and we kind of struck it off. And he bought lots of folk clothes, which was really great. And but I think a week before I was going to collect the clubs that he made for me, subsequently charged me quite a lot of money to buy these Japanese blades, which I got really excited about. I hadn't intended buying clubs for him. I just wanted to fit it to know what shafts I wanted. But it was I couldn't help myself. Anyway, I was with the founder and owner of Rafa and Simon Montrum. We were having dinner a week before I was collecting my club. He was asking me what I was doing. And I said, I can't wait. I'm getting my new clubs next week. Went, what? Clubs? What? I said, my new golf clubs. And he just fell off his seat laughing. He couldn't believe I played golf. And he said, I've invited you to do the attack, go to the Alps, go to Norway cycling, and you play golf. And he was like, and he really found it quite a funny thing. And if you're a golfer, you're a golfer. If you're a cyclist, you're a cyclist. Some people do both. But I find I love the game. It's kind of really, it's a treasured 4 hours with friends, quiet, playing this really skillful game in the outdoors. Anyway, subsequently, I told the story to James Day and when I collected my clubs. And we both laughed. James was like, oh, what a knob. No, as in, that's not fair. That's my game he's talking about. Okay. And then, but then we both laughed about it and kind of, and then something just triggered. He said, you know, golf needs style. And actually probably Simon helped us realize that. And because what he did for cycling in Rafa was, as the, you know, the first time you've seen beautiful cycling gear with not lots of branding on it, not lots of companies' names, because all the just replicas of what the pros wore. And so it's, it was kind of an accidental happening, fateful thing. And that was really pretty cool.
And, I mean, you touched upon it there, but I think if you're into golf, you kind of get fanatical. I never hear about the people that are right down the middle. You either have the people that try it, don't get on with it, or you have the people that kind of go all in. You know, there's no dimmer switch. I mean, the likes, I always think of like Sean Connery, who just played golf once at Stoke Poges for Goldfinger, and that was it. That was his life. He's now a golfer who acts part-time. Joe Pesci's the same. He's got a putting ranch in his house. You know, he doesn't want to act anymore. Everyone wants him to act, but he does one film every 10 years and then golfs in between. So can you perhaps touch upon that? What is the bug of golf?
Well, you get this thing that you can, you got to hit however many shots you hit during a round, but just one wonder shot can just lighten you up. You know, you don't know how you've done it. There's a lot of variables in between. It's not like a time sport, you know, so you kind of try and beat your time and then you have a peak and then you can train and train and train. But there's a lot of skill involved. And there's not to say there's not skill in say cycling. There's so much skill involved. But there's an element of that physical fitness that actually you don't need in golf. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about it that, Every game that you play, you can take something from it and it can bring you back. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for some amazing, skillful shot. Like one of the factories that makes our clothes is in Delhi, this beautiful little factory. And Motti, who's I think 83, 84, is a member of the Royal Delhi Club. And he sent me a message about 8 weeks ago and he just got his third hole in one ever, you know? And he only plays nine holes at a time. That's all he can get out now because he's getting on, you know. Yeah. But he still goes back and there's in there. So there's a bit of that, but there's also it is a beautiful game. Like if it's your kind of game, I play badminton, I play football, I play golf, and each one of them are stunning games in their own right, you know. And yeah. But I'm getting too old to play the football I like to play, and also I'm not as fast playing badminton. But I can have another probably 15 years probably of improving in golf. I think, you know, yeah. I think, and that's quite, and being competitive,
right?
I want to keep playing, you know.
So what are you at the moment? I know that you have like handicaps and then, I found out this the other day. I had a friend round and her husband is, I want to say a professional golfer, but he's just not known. He just so happens to be really, really good at golf. And I asked her, oh, has he come down to scratch yet? Because I believe that's the kind of the zero that you're at. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me in bewilderment. She goes, oh, he's beyond scratch. I said, what is beyond scratch? She goes, well, that's scratch. When you get to scratch, that's so everybody else can have a chance. But when you get beyond scratch, you know, you then have to kind of give other people a head start. Does that make sense?
It depends on their level. So the scratch is the par of the course, and that is really good. James Day, my partner, I think he plays off 0.3. You know, he's an ex-pro golfer. He's a sensational golfer, and everyone, when we get together and having outings and stuff, everyone wants to play with James. I'm like, what about me? but because he's so skillful and plays the game in a really loose, lovely way, it's quite inspiring to see him play. So your man, who's your friend, if he's a plus golfer, that's what all the pros are. They're not just scratch, they're plus. So yeah. I'm a four, but then you get to scratch and then you go plus, and then that's really, you're hitting under the kind of course expectancy or the course excellence kind of thing.
Wow. That's another level. Cool.
I'm sure I didn't explain that brilliantly, by the
way. No, you did. Yeah. No, I guess you kind of, for my money, I always translate things to films. So I would put you guys within the Jedi Council, but you're not the Yodas yet, you know.
No, certainly not. Well, I certainly am. I'm too erratic, but I'd like to play more, but there's quite a few other commitments in. But you know, it's great just to be out there, and the school aspect is really fun when you have a great day. You know?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
And maybe touch upon the clothes. How do the, perhaps you can talk about the influences in the designs and how they differ from folk.
Yeah, well, they differ massively from folk because everything that we make for the golf, for Sounder, is specific to playing golf. But what we want is that the guy who's wearing those can leave the course and go straight to his favorite restaurant, a bar, take his wife out, whoever he's taking out, and he's just not to be scream, "I'm a golf guy," you know, because the golf clothes are pretty obvious, you know. So we work on the functionality. But remember, the clothes don't need to be technologically advanced to play golf. So, and then the influences come from really just all my years of working in dressing people, and then also playing golf. So I really focus on that. We've focused on a kind of philosophy of you play the game loose. So we want it to be people to look quite casual. We don't want them to look too sporty. So, and also I always go back to Jack Nicklaus and Seve Ballesteros, and I was big fans of those guys when I was young. So I like their style, you know.
Were you tempted to go down the route where the clothes are professional and you'd get kind of like anti-wick moisturizing fabrics and stuff like that?
No, not at all. No,
not for you.
My clothes are quite natural based. We're going to do waterproof shells. We're going to have tech parts of what we do. We've made a golf bag that's shower proof, you know. We've made waterproof bags to put in your wet clothes, you know. We will do things like that, but the actual apparel part is, it's meant to be joyful, fun, you know, detailed nicely, great fabrics using BCI cottons, which are the most sustainable cotton you can get, and you know, going down that route and more of an eco route. The clothes are to be worn today and for people to wear today and tomorrow. Right. You know, it's not a retro thing, it's not a tech thing. You know, as I say, what probably 80% of golfers are not playing golf in the rain.
Right.
I don't mind being a Scot, you know. We can handle a bit. I mean, most people can handle a bit, but they're not going to stay out and get completely soaked.
Yeah.
If they have, they're going to put on waterproof. So the clothes are really to fit beautifully, look really stylish, great colors. We change them seasonally and make some interesting additions to what would be normally in a golfer's wardrobe.
And have you looked at any brands that are kind of already out there in the market that are tailored for golfers, let's say, and go, "I like that, but I want to do it different," or "I kind of get what they were doing with that and I understand it, but I want to take it and twist it over here for my thing"?
No, and this is not to sound overconfident. The only reason we look at other golf brands is to make sure we're not doing anything like that. So that's what we do with folk. My design team goes shopping to check what's in the market to make sure we're not emulating anyone at the right time, because people love saying, "You copied me, you did this." Yeah. It's really to be out to set ourselves apart, but we feel that there's quite an open landscape for Sounder, because everything is you know, since Tiger came along and Nike got involved, they started to do all this tech stuff. Yeah. And it came kind of trying to dress everyone quite similarly and make sure it had some tech prowess to it, you know, dry fit tees and, you know, stretch in the pants, and it didn't need it. So we are kind of very natural based. So I'm quite far away from what the market's been doing. And we're going to continue to do that and just make clothes that are really beautiful, that actually, so outside of golf, someone would say, where did you get that? That's a beautiful color.
Yeah. You know? It's a good area. I mean, it's an interesting area where you feel like if someone was going to be thrown into the world of golf and go, right, now what can I wear? I want to quote Fleming when he has the Goldfinger moment, where Goldfinger goes in and Bond describes him as someone that says, well, he's just asked his tailor to make him an outfit for golf. And so he's got the identikit clothing of golf. I mean, do you kind of see that there is like a format and a style of people just wearing stuff for golf because they've not really got any other ideas of how to enjoy clothes on a golf course?
Yeah. Well, or you just see there's a whole swathe of people that just wear their cashmere jumper and their chinos from Folk. I say that I wish they were all wearing the Folk chinos, because, and some of them do, but you know, people just go up in their J. Crew or their Marks and Spencers or whatever they have, because that's what's required. We just wanted to have some functionality to true classics that say would be within Folk or other fantastic brands, and add functionality to it. Make sure there's a really good pocket that holds your glove, your scorecard, your pencil, you know, have great clothes to practice in. So, yeah, we're trying to think really kind of for the game today and tomorrow, you know.
Right. And how do you work with James now? What's the relationship there, the dynamic?
I'm just trying to beat him at golf. Okay. Give me a lesson. No, I don't want a lesson from you.
Anyone but you.
Yeah. Can you help me? No, I don't want you to help me. No, he is 120% pure golf. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And so we spend a lot of time talking, whether it's about golf or style or music we want to listen to. And from that, we layer it up and we go deep into what we want to do for the brand. So it's just nice long conversations that I keep mental notes of and stuff that he likes. He sent me some colors today we're making this handmade bag in Froome in Somerset in a small factory. It's a gorgeous factory. It's handmade. We made two bags already, one for him, one for me, to test them out. And I'm just picking all the new colors. It's like fully organic, kind of coated cotton. I think it's woven in England, and then veggie tanned leather from England. And we were just making new colors. And he'll just wake up and he'll see someone, he'll send me a color, or he'll send me a long email, or we'll get together and we'll go over it. And the main thing is we're trying to sign everything off together. We can't sign everything off, but there's elements that we really need to make sure the functionality is right. And he's lived and breathed golf from a long time. And that information really gets involved in the design process, which actually gets it to a place that it becomes super functional.
Right.
And we just kind of push each other, you know, I say, can you get out of this? You know, and that's good, because there's a tension there that we both want it to be right as well. So it's not always polite, and I don't think it should be so sound that can get the best of us. We have to be both really strong about what we want, and it's really working. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought of it that way. When you have a partnership, that you kind of have to have a lot of disagreements. Some point, otherwise, if everybody's just agreeing with something, one's going to turn to the other and go, well, what do I need you for?
It's just too polite, you know. That's your side of the business and that's mine. There's definitely boundaries there, and you know, when it comes to garment making, garment production, and the nuances of that, and the time. In fact, a good example would be James said, when are we getting the new? I said, dude, there's 6 months of development here and it takes ages. And he's like, oh, and you know, he's frustrated. I'm frustrated because I want it to happen quicker. So there's elements of, you know, that, and me saying to him, when can we get our own clubs made? And he's like, Jesus Christ, you know, just getting started. Do you know how much money that costs? So, and that's a good thing. So yeah, it can't always be polite for sure.
Yeah. Where are the garments made, Kafo? Are they made in the same places as folk or do you go elsewhere?
Sometimes, yeah. So like say the bags when I'm making those and we're making belts and wallets in England, that's not where we make folk stuff. We make in the same factories in Portugal, two of them. One we don't. So predominantly, I would say probably 80% of it, 70% is made in Portugal. The rest is made in England and a bit in Vietnam. I think we make some hats there. And then we make in this factory in Delhi, which is this beautiful factory. Delhi's known for mass high volume women's wear, but there's a gentleman there in Delhi who runs a small, really kind of right on factory who happens to be a golf nut as well. And he is, he's been an inspiration actually. And so we make in India too. And that's a fun trip, which I can't wait to take James on to go and play golf with him and see the factory.
Nice. Do you have a favorite course?
No, not yet. I haven't played enough, you know. I've spent all my life playing in Scotland with my dad and my best friends, and you know, and I've been lucky to play some belters, you know, some real good ones. But you know, when I hear James and some of his mates talking about where they played, I say, "What? Where? I don't play there." So I'm going to keep going and play as many. But I think playing in Scottish links courses, on the seaside, I think they're pretty wonderful. I feel at home there, and a kind of slightly more rugged links course, not super high end, but lots of character, and that feels really exciting. But we did play, say 2 weeks ago, James and I played at the Addington, which is in South London near Croydon, and someone said this could be one of the top 10 in the country, and it was a really unusual course. And so there's loads of good ones. I think it's hard to pin down. Yeah. So my kids asked me, what's your favorite color? I said, Jesus, you can't ask me that.
give me a couple of years to think about it and then I'll come back to you. Well, Kafo, it's been a real pleasure of mine to speak to you. Been a fan of yours and the brand Folk for some time. Now that you've pointed me towards Sounder, I'll be looking to invest. And everyone else can check out the brand also at soundergolf.com. And we'll put all the links over at Menswear Style so people can go there and check that out as well. Tangentially, what's your favorite golf film?
Golf film?
Yeah.
Oh, so, well, it's got to be Caddyshack, really.
Nice, yeah.
It's, it has to be. In fact, look out for a couple of, there's a polo top which is specifically designed with one of the Caddyshack characters. Because the colours are just too good. So, in fact, that's red, white, and blue, the Monterey polo. It's and there's a character in that who wears something equally nice.
I am all over that. I've got to check that out. I'm heading there the second I hang up. I was going to go Tin Cup because I think I've seen that 1,000 times.
That's brilliant.
And there's one out at the minute, isn't it? The Phantom of.
They're not two. Is the Phantom one with Simon Farnaby?
I think that's a Mark Rylance one.
I
might have screwed up.
Yeah, Simon Farnaby made one that James was meant to be involved in, but we just got too busy. He was meant to help out dress some of the guys. And then there's the other one that's getting a lot of press just this minute, right?
Yeah, I'm just scrambling on my phone. It's not good pod, but just bear with me a sec. Phantom of the... I want to call it the Phantom of the Gulf, but that's not right. Phantom of the Open. You got it. Yeah, you got it. Phantom of the Open. And I think that's the one with Mark Rylance. But anyway, it looks, it looks pretty good and it's doing very well.
I've heard it's quite good. And actually, he's just sensational, isn't he?
Oh, he's got Reece Iffens in. I'll watch anything with Reece Iffens.
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
I bumped into Reece Iffens once on the street, and I've been a big fan of Reece Iffens. He did the He played Peter Cook in one of my favorite incarnations of Peter Cook. I stopped him on the street as he was buying a newspaper, and I knew it was him, but I went up and said, "Oh, has anyone ever told you you look like Reese Iffens?" I just felt so stupid. And it was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever said to anyone. And he was so sweet, though. He went, "It's me." I was like, "Wow." I said, "Oh, can I get a picture?" And he kind of scrambled around trying to put his newspaper away. I knew he didn't want a picture. So I just said, "Oh, it's fine. Honestly, I don't want to put you on the spot. Just a huge fan of yours." Yeah. But anyway, yeah, going way off the grass here. Kaffel, great speaking to you again. And we will hopefully catch up at some point in the future.
Please. Thanks so much for your time.
Cheers, have a nice evening. And yours. Thank you. You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you'd like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.